Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 115 of our year of the Bible, and we met on day 114, one of the best priests in Judah, in Judah's history, Hezekiah. Hezekiah, remember, he was more like David, and he did all these great things, worked on the temple, got rid of the shrines, the like bad shrines and all that kind of stuff. Oh, what a guy. But that he had the problem of ticking Assyria off, and Assyria showed up. He might have made not the best decision there, but you know what? These are hard decisions to make. He ticked Assyria off. Assyria had just knocked off Samaria, and they're at the gate of Jerusalem, ready to do Jerusalem dirty. Hezekiah freaks out, and he tore his clothes and says, "Oh no, we got to pray. This is going to be bad." But the word of the Lord came to Hezekiah and he says, no, that's not going to happen. And miraculously, they ended up withdrawing. You've got to check out chapter 19, verse 14. He receives this letter about Assyria and stuff. It says he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord. Now compare this to honestly, like most all of the other. Kings that we've seen recently, what did he do? He took his problem and he went directly to the Lord. He literally laid out the letter. Now, of course, he doesn't have to lay out the letter for the Lord, but like symbolically, it's important, you know, and it like might make you feel better. I think it would make me feel better. You sort of like lay it out on the Lord. It says, look, this is the letter I got. We are in big trouble. And then we meet somebody new. I mentioned yesterday or a couple days ago or something about how there're prophets walking around doing stuff all this time. Now, we don't get it right here because we're reading the book of Kings, but when we get to the book of Isaiah and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so we meet Isaiah here in the second book of the Kings. And Isaiah comes through and says, "You got nothing to worry about, man. You got nothing to worry about." And Isaiah at this point, you have nothing to worry about. And Isaiah has this great, like, poem, criticism, attack, threat on Assyria, on Sennacherib. You can tuck that in your back pocket. Sennacherib, the head of Assyria at that point, and said, "Nope, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. We're not gonna do it. God is in charge. And if God is in charge, then if God wants something done, it happens. And if he will allow something done, then he allows it. And, you know, if he doesn't want something done, then something doesn't happen. And it is not God's will." The word of the prophet came. And it is not God's will that he wants that. And so it's not gonna happen. So Hezekiah, don't worry. God says, "I will defend the city and save it. For my sake," meaning for God's sake and for the sake of David, his servant. And so what happened? The angel of the Lord went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians. Now, the modernists will say, maybe it was dysentery. Maybe it was the bubonic plague. Who cares? There's always going to be a natural explanation for miracles because we live in nature, right? Nonetheless, the point is, God said, no, Jerusalem's not going to fall right now. And so the angel of death went out and killed 185,000 Assyrians. And you might say, that's not nice. That's not nice to the Assyrians to go do that. The Assyrians were about to kill all the people in Jerusalem, right? They had besieged Jerusalem. Sieges are bad. Sieges are deadly. God saved him. God saved him, and the Assyrian field commander went back to Assyria. and one day he was there in his temple. Sennacherib was, and the Bible, the biblical author, just wants us to know. And then two of his sons killed him. Two of his sons killed him, and they fled. So you know, he comes to no good end. So there you are. Then in chapter 20, we hear about Hezekiah's illness. This is very interesting. Hezekiah's illness. It is not necessarily the case. You know, strict chronology is not something that the biblical authors are terribly concerned about. Sometimes they have a story from here, a story from there, and they stick it together, but it's not necessary. And like we see that multiple times in the Bible. This may be one of them, I am told. Hezekiah was ill, and Isaiah went to him and said, you're about to die, you're not going to recover. Now, the same faithful response that we saw from Hezekiah earlier is very much like the one we see here. What does he do? Okay, so he goes and he faces the wall, right? He faces the wall. Now, who does that remind us of? That reminds us of, was it David? Who goes in? No, it was Ahab. He goes in and he faces the wall and he cries and he like throws a fit and he wouldn't eat. This is kind of like that, except that Hezekiah turns and he faces the wall and he prays. And he goes to God and says, no. The whole deal is, you know, that I'm going to walk in the way of the Lord and all this kind of stuff. And that's what I've done and everything. And God comes to Hezekiah and says, you know what? You're right. 15 more years you've got. I'm going to deliver you and the city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And he recovered. Isaiah told him to make a poultice of figs. Don't know what a poultice is. Put on a boil and he recovered it. And he had 15 more years of life. Then the prophet Isaiah called on the Lord because Hezekiah wanted to see, like, is this a real thing? Are you telling me the truth? And Hezekiah saw the sundial, the shadow on the sundial, go backwards, and that was the miracle that he took as an assurance. So very good. However, and this is concerning. In chapter 20, midway through, they get envoys from Babylon. And you don't know if Hezekiah is faithful and naive, but some envoys from Babylon come. Now look, it's Assyria that they've been afraid of this whole time, right? Because Assyria has been like the ruling power. That's who they've been, right? So people from Babylon show up, envoys from Babylon. Thing is, the Babylonian Empire is now very much on the ascent, but I don't know, Hezekiah just didn't see them as threats, perhaps. And so he shows them all around, shows them his palaces, shows them his storehouses, shows them like the treasures, shows them like everything. The Babylonians. Now, you know, you and I know how the story ends, and it's not good vis-a-vis the Babylonians and the Judahites. And Isaiah comes to Hezekiah afterwards and says, "What are you doing? No, now everything that you have in the fullness of time is gonna be taken away, and that's not good." He was on the throne for quite a while, and unfortunately, the apple fell very far from this particular tree, because his successor. Remember, he's fought off the Assyrians. He's done these religious reforms. He's a very faithful guy. And his son is Manasseh. Manasseh is one of the worst kings in Judah. The religious things are terrible. He sacrifices his son. He worships the stars. I guess he was big into horoscopes. Consulted mediums and spirits. Practiced divination. Carved the Asherah pole. All this kind of stuff. And he was the king for 55 years. 55 years. Now his son Ammon is only going to be there for 2 years. But Manasseh did did all this terrible stuff. All this. He was really, really bad. And he was there for 55 years. Think about what effect, if you're the king, you can have on a place if you are there, if you are the king for 55 years. And that appears to be what it was, what happened. It's not only religious things, it is religious things, but the Old Testament always ties together sort of religious, shall we say, sloppiness and right, like irreligion, with injustice towards the poor. And so that happens too. And so the word of the Lord comes to Manasseh and says, I'm going to wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Now, this is the prophetic word that you get a little bit of here. But this is a lot of what the prophecies of Isaiah, Amos, Hosea are going to be later. This reference to a plumb line. The plumb line is the line that shows you if the wall is straight, and God has taken his plumb line and held it up against Israel, and the wall is not straight. So he's going to wipe Israel out, wipe Judah out the way one wipes a dish. So that's no good, and that's the promise that God made, and that's what came to pass. The next king is Amon. Like I said, he was only there for 2 years in Jerusalem. He was assassinated by his officials. Now, we have one more king that is going to come, Josiah. That's in tomorrow's reading. But Manasseh had been there for so long that it was going to be impossible for Josiah to completely reverse all the things that Manasseh had done. However, nothing is futile, right? It might seem like, oh, this is going to be impossible, but nothing is futile, because though the iniquity of Jerusalem nonetheless results in its punishment, the things that Josiah did, and I don't want to give the game away, the things that Josiah did was going to be part of what carried Judah through in the exile to come. So nothing is lost. Leadership matters. Long leadership can make or break a place. It's a serious thing. What do you do when you have a problem? Take it to the Lord. Turn your face to the wall and don't just throw a fit, but pray. Take that problem that you have and spread it out in front of the Lord and say, Lord, I need help with this. I need some bad help with this. Seriously, do that. The Lord can do impossible things, can save impossible situations. Something's wrong with my throat today. All right. Well, so I'm going to leave it there for today. I am off to the installation of Andrew Kellner as rector of St. Asaph in Ballachinwood. So hope you guys have a great day, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your day, my friends. I'll talk to you tomorrow.